Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, I have done a number of videos of late on the condition known as borderline personality disorder, which is far more common among women, and about 75% of those diagnosed have it. One of the symptoms of borderline personality disorder that has always troubled me is the symptom known as a weak sense of identity, a weak sense of self, identity diffusion. What does this actually mean? What are we talking about when we say that a person has a weak sense of self or a weak sense of identity or a weak self-concept? What does it mean? And I've been looking into this and I think I've come up with a satisfactory answer. So that's what I want to look at today. Before I do that, could you please do me a favor? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube and leave a like and leave a comment and hit the bell button and all of that kind of stuff? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff that I don't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, films I make, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So first of all, for those that are not familiar with it, borderline personality disorder is a cluster B personality disorder. So it goes alongside things like Machiavellianism and narcissism, and is associated essentially with low agreeableness and low conscientiousness. And it is marked by 9 key symptoms: mood swings, constant fear of abandonment, impulsive behavior, reckless behavior, including things like having affairs and heavy drinking and binge shopping and whatever, identity disturbance, emptiness, a series of quick and unstable relationships marked by idealizing and then de-idealizing the partner, problems with anger, self-harm, and dissociation or paranoid psychosis under stress, where you basically you become almost like schizophrenic under high levels of stress. So with that in mind, then, this concept of the self concept, what do we mean? And it begs the question of how do we create a self? And what we do, and we all do this, is we sort of look around and we notice what other people do that seems to work or get results in certain circumstances. What kind of body language works? What kind of phrases work? What kind of accent works? What kind of way of presenting yourself works? And we tend to adopt those, so for example, a phrase, and then we integrate that, but we don't adopt everything this person does. We don't adopt everything they do. We don't adopt the phrase, the accent, the way of dressing, the way of presenting yourself, the body language. We don't adopt everything, but we adopt an aspect of what we see that person do, and we integrate it into that unique constellation of influences that is us. I can give you an example from my own life. I know I use a phrase like this. Would it be at all possible to, like that? It's when I'm trying to be polite. And I know who I got that from. And I noticed it. I noticed it work. And so I would it be at all possible to. But I do that in my own accent. And I don't adopt much else of what that person has done. So that is how we create a sense of self. And what this does is it creates a kind of smooth whole that is us. Now, this is not what people or that have the symptom of a weak self-concept do. Such people have the most tremendous anxiety. They have terrible anxiety. They are incredibly self-critical. They feel that they are worthless and that they are no good and that they are generally, you know, dreadful, and they are full of shame about themselves. And so they don't have the confidence to integrate what they perceive as working into a smooth whole. They don't have the confidence to know that, oh, I'll take that bit because that bit works, but I can leave the rest of it. They're not able to do that. And secondly, because of they are so high in anxiety and in a low self-esteem and so on, they don't like contradiction. Contradiction is a problem. Dissonance is a problem. Holding two possibilities together means that the world doesn't make sense, or it doesn't quite make sense. And if the world doesn't quite make sense, then the world is frightening. And if the world is frightening, it is unbearable and they can't cope. So they can't cope with dissonance. They can't cope with subtleties. And this is why they will tend to split. For example, what I mentioned earlier about idealizing and de-idealizing a partner. The partner is either perfect and wonderful and amazing, and he is their savior, and this reassures them that everything is going to be okay. Or he upsets them, or he doesn't live up to their expectations. He is evil. He is vicious. He is awful. He is dreadful. And at least then they feel that they are in control of the world and the world makes sense. They can't deal with that kind of nuance. Now, what this leads to in terms of their relationship with their parents is quite interesting, which is that often, because there is a strong genetic component to borderline personality and related disorders like depression and things like this, it's a genetic component to it of about 50%, but also an environmental component. And what they will do is they will split, for example, the frightening, aggressive parent. So they might have a father who is both a lovely, funny, witty, intelligent guy and an extremely aggressive person. Now, they can't hold in their head, because it means that the world doesn't make sense and this is frightening, that he can be both. So therefore, he is either aggressive and awful and terrible, or he is a funny, witty, jolly guy, depending on the kind of mood they're in and what's happened with him recently in their lives. And they will also split themselves. They can't hold in their head that they can be both a confident, you know, chat person that's doing well and that thinks positively of themselves, and that kind of abused child that unpleasant things happened to when they were young. So they, in effect, split themselves, and they will either be one or the other, depending on their mood. Now, and again, even because they're not sure of themselves, because there's too much anxiety to be sure of themselves and to therefore take elements of somebody else and integrate it into a fundamental core that is them, then there is a degree to which there is no core. In the situation in which they have the situation of, I don't know, being in a particular conflict with somebody and feeling angry with them, rather than they will, the whole self will completely change. They will have noticed a particular situation which is comparable to the situation that they are in, where somebody else has behaved in a certain way and used certain phrases. And rather than just use that phrase, they will adopt that entire persona in that situation. So they will become, in a sense, a completely different person overtly in that situation. And this may even involve things like they're changing their accent to align with the accent of the person whom they are imitating in that situation. Because let's be clear with this word imitating. We all do this without even thinking about it all the time. The unique constellation of phrases and body language and facial expressions and the way you dress and everything that is uniquely us doesn't come from nowhere. It's not a vacuum. It's a constellation of influences where you think, in this situation, I'm a bit influenced by this person. In this situation, I'm a bit influenced by this person. But if you don't have the confidence, if you're too anxious to be able to just take that bit that works, to understand what fully works in that situation, then you simply adopt wholesale that person, that persona in that given situation. And then you will just be a different person. You will seem like, to your interlocutor, the person that knows you well, you will suddenly get extremely angry and you will seem like and talk like and behave like a different person. And so you can imagine a situation where a woman becomes very upset, and she then identifies completely, wholesale, with that image of herself as a child that is upset. And so as an adult woman, she just becomes a toddler and starts jumping up and down and having a literal tantrum. So that would be another, she becomes a different person. That would be another example. Or she's upset and she tries to negotiate a problem related to, I don't know, a breakup. And she's noticed a character on TV who's American do that in that very similar set of circumstances. So she starts using not only the phrases that that person used that seemed to work, but the accent. So she again becomes a different person. So that's what identity diffusion basically means. Now, what this also means is that in terms of their goals, in terms of what they want in life, in terms of, or indeed just how they present themselves in more superficial ways, like how they dress or what their opinions are or what their worldview is, these are subject to change because there is no core. So a person will think to themselves, okay, well, this is what I think and this is who I am and these are my opinions. And then they will meet a new group of people that they want to be part of and they want to be in that group. And something will, a problem will occur where someone will criticize their views or something like that. They will feel so anxious, so unhappy, and they won't feel, well, you know, I'm a fundamentally good person, but this bad thing has happened to me. They will just feel, I am fundamentally bad. I am awful. I am terrible. At their core is this broken sense of anxiety. And therefore, it's not that a bad thing has happened to me and I'm a good person. A bad thing has happened to me and I'm bad. And therefore, I must fundamentally change. And then you'll get a rapid something new. And it must be something clear and black and white, because remember, they have this anxiety about a dissonance. And so then their identity will completely change very quickly. From being, let's say, very, very left-wing, then there's this breakdown, this problem, to being very, very right-wing, something like that. So they have a weak sense of self in that sense as well. And finally, it's the extremes of emotion. Most of us operate within certain boundaries. We're a little, you know, we can get, you know, this angry and we can get this happy or whatever. If you are absolutely extreme, you will seem like very different people. You will seem, the idea that someone can go from being absolutely loving and wonderful and kind to being absolutely hateful and awful is almost like they are a different person. So it's a weak sense of self in that sense. But the essence of it is the ability to adopt bits of other people that seem to work in given circumstances or seem to make sense and to integrate them into a smooth whole. And that's what they can't do. And so what they do instead is basically just adopt the personality, adopt the essence, adopt the language, adopt the accent of another person in a given set of circumstances to solve a problem. For example, if they're highly stressed or if they're a little bit unhappy or if they're overwhelmed or whatever it happens to be. And so that's what it means to have identity diffusion. So, I, for example, once met this woman and she'd say, "I know," like that. Well, she'd either got that, or she was American, so she'd got that from Monica from Friends. She identified with Monica from Friends. She saw herself as a bit similar to Monica from Friends, and she took on both the phrase and the accent and the exact way of saying it in a given set of circumstances. That's a little bit of diffusion. This is a much more extreme example. So I hope that makes sense. And if you have any questions or experiences of this, then I'd love to read about them, put them in the comments, and I will see you soon. And goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?